Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Evening came, then morning, the first day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the water seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds." And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for festivals and for days and years. They will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to have dominion over the day, and the lesser light to have dominion over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to dominate the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. Then God said, let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water according to their kinds. He also created every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So God blessed them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God also said, "Look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you. for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth, everything having the breath of life in it. I've given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. All of Genesis chapter 1. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the glorious and the beautiful and the powerful story and truth that we find in Genesis chapter 1 as you introduce us to both your creation and to yourself in the Word of God. Thank you for the glory that permeates that wonderful account of creation. And thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, God our Father, the Creator, and so, so much more. Father, we thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your might. Hallelujah. Lord, you're a good God. You're a great God. You're a wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father. We thank you for being the Heavenly Father that you are. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that every day as we open your word and read and meditate on your word, we get to spend time one-on-one with you, our Heavenly Father, our eternal Creator, our God, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for the chance to know you, to be able to listen to you, to learn from you, and to draw from your wisdom, your grace, and your strength every day. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your love. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that you brought light out of darkness. You brought form out of formlessness. Father, you brought land out of the sea. You brought solidity out of chaos, and you brought us out of the dirt. Father, thank you so much that in these moments you can bring life out of us. Father, we make ourselves available for your ways, for your kingdom. Father, thank you so much that you made a garden in the wilderness and that you can bring us into peace with you in the midst of all this chaos. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you for being a part of our listening family today. We'd like to continue to remind you that as the month of June rolls on, we're nearing the end of the deadline date for the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge, at least the submission date. And if you have a child or grandchild, a young person that you're working with that wants to submit a speech, again, this part of the Ten Commandments Project is basically where we're encouraging young people to do the following. Basically, to write a speech or to get someone to help you to write a speech based on the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And in their own way, present a speech that teaches us why it's so important for us to put God first in everything that we do. And we're encouraging them to submit that speech. Again, it can be video. You can record it on your cell phone or any other means that you have, and email it to us. And we've received a good number so far, and we're looking forward to receiving a good many more between now and the end of the month. And they can be emailed to faq@afa.net. Again, that's faq@afa.net or jparker@afa.net. And we'll look forward to receiving them as you send them. Again, this is a discipleship project. It's been a fun project, but at the same time, a very serious project that involves helping to plant the powerful, eternal Word of God in the hearts and the minds and the lives of our children and youth. How important it is that we make that the priority God would have it to be. So, again, if you're wanting to get involved, we certainly encourage you to help your child, grandchild, or the young person or persons that you're working with to get involved with this project. And if you need more information, just again, email me, jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to get you further information about it. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith, A Walk Through the Old Testament. Again, Lessons on Faith, A Walk Through the Old Testament. And keep in mind, it's important for us to know that, you know, God's Word is a guidebook for all of life. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When you're reading the Bible, you're spending time one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he speaks words of wisdom, words of grace, words of blessing, words of life into your heart, your mind, your life. So reading the Word of God every day is so, so important. But also keep in mind, the Word of God is a book of wisdom, it's a book of grace, but also it's a book of faith. And I would encourage you to be mindful of this important truth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 lets us know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So apparently, faith is very, very, very important in the life of any and every believer. So I want to take time to read Hebrews chapter 11. Now, keep in mind, we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith, a Walk Through the Old Testament. But keep in mind, one very powerful and interesting truth about Hebrews chapter 11, a book found in the New Testament, is that the names and the faith heroes it mentions are Old Testament characters. Now, by no means that's not excluding those of us that have been born in New Testament times. But the fact is, if Old Testament saints can do exploits by putting their faith and trust in God, what more can those of us that have been born since the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So reading Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Reading that verse again. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by God's command, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not experience death. And he was not found because God took him away. For prior to his removal, he was approved since he had pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, thank you again for your word, and thank you for the opportunity we as believers have of being able to read and meditate on your word and further develop and grow our faith daily as we read and meditate on your word and as we step out in faith, trusting and obeying your word. With every passing day, more and more, help us to be a people that live lives of faith, where we're trusting you in every situation, in every circumstance, in every matter, knowing that you're a God that can be trusted. You told us the just shall live by faith. Teach us and empower us to do that more and more faithfully with every passing day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Is it so crazy to believe? that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. Trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so.
Music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now. Reading through Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city, which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, without having received the promises, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and he was offering his unique son, the one it had been said about, "Your seed will be traced through Isaac." He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead, and as an illustration, he received him back. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions concerning his bones. Verses 1 through 22, Hebrews chapter 11. Again, Hebrews chapter 11 is a good chapter for believers to read often because it reminds us of many ways whereby we can trust God, obey God, and step out in faith in our lives. Keep in mind, every one of us is called to live by faith. God calls us to live in such a way where, in a manner of speaking, we're to eat, breathe, and sleep faith. Now, why is that important? Because the fact is, the opposition, the problems, the challenges of life come at us fast and heavy every single day. All of us have challenges to deal with, and God is calling us to put our faith to work to deal with every single one of them. And again, keep in mind, if we go another route rather than trusting God, we won't please God. As Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So the fact is, as believers, it's very important that we're growing and further developing our faith daily, but also we're growing in our understanding of how to put our faith to work on a daily basis as well. We put our faith to work as we pray in faith, asking God for things that we need or challenges that we're facing, asking him for wisdom, deliverance, or help. We're putting our faith to work through our prayer life, but also we put our faith to work through the words we speak. We're to speak the promises of God and stand on the promises of God and believe that he's going to keep his word. The reality is we as believers should have a lifestyle of confessing promises from God's word throughout the day. Now, not necessarily out loud, you know, of course, quietly, just between you and the Lord. But the fact is, you release the grace and the power of God every time you speak God's word, power and grace that helps you in your life to move forward in faith. So an important question to ask is, what challenges are you facing today? Where are you facing obstacles? Where are you having difficulty or tough circumstances that you're going through? Are you putting your faith to work? Have you prayed and asked God for wisdom and guidance about dealing with it? Have you asked him to open a door or to work a situation out for you? Yes, we're supposed to be putting our faith to work continually throughout the day because, again, we all have challenges each and every day. How important it is that we do that and seek to do it in such a way that we're glorifying God, but also keep in mind, in order to be successful in life, it's important that we're putting our faith to work continually as well. I want to take time now to share an article that we wrote that put it on the AFA stand. Please email us to get a copy so that you'll have it. But the title of the article is Faith and Obedience. And keep in mind, you could say in a manner of speaking, as we touch on in the article, in a manner of speaking, faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. So again, the title of the article, Faith and Obedience. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1. And then Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. What is the relationship between faith and obedience? Are they one and the same, or are they two entirely different issues? Some might say that faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. So what's the connection? Actually, obedience is an expression of faith. It's a response to faith and trust in God and his word. Obedience should always be the result and the fruit of faith. The two should definitely go hand in hand. So what if someone says, I have a lot of faith, I just struggle to live a life of faith and I struggle to live a life of obedience to the word of God. It's very important to know that true faith will always result in obedience to the word of God. When a person disobeys the word of God, they're being faithless in a given situation. Again, reading that sentence again, listen closely. When a person disobeys the word of God, they're being faithless in a given situation. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 25 tells us, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, Was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Again, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 25. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is told by God to get up and leave his family and go to a land he would show him. For Abraham to obey God in this matter, it took faith and trust in God and his word. Abraham did put his faith and trust in God. He packed up and, in obedience to the word of God, moved to the land God showed him. Abraham heard the word of God and in faith obeyed that word. And he was blessed by God as a result of his faith and obedience. The world continues to be blessed even up to today, up to today, by the obedience and trust of Abraham in the word of God. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Israel is called upon to put their faith and trust in God. The nation was called by God to go and conquer the promised land, but after the 12 spies returned from spying out the land, 10 of the 12 had an evil report. The majority of the children of Israel believed the report of the 10 unbelieving spies. The children of Israel therefore failed to put their trust in God. They chose to disobey the Lord and instead became upset with Moses. Their lack of faith and obedience to the word of God had a tragic result. Sadly, everyone 20 years old and older, except Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. So faith and obedience are very important for any and every believer every day of our lives. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Again, Hebrews 11:6. If we desire to live a life that pleases God, we must live a life of faith and trust in him. Every day, it's the responsibility of every follower of Christ to put their faith and trust in God. And we are called to step out in obedience to the word of God if we want to please God. The word of God is the will of God. And we are called to read and meditate on the word of God as a lifestyle. And we're called to have faith in God's word and obey him every day of our lives. Again, the title of that article, Faith and Obedience. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And we'll be glad to get that to you. Let me just share with you. The article alluded to the powerful account in Numbers chapter 13, where Moses has sent 12 spies to spy out the land. And in chapter 13, picking up at verse 26, it tells the story of how that when the spies came back, they came and basically said, it's a good land, it's flowing with milk and honey, and the 10 of the spies had a bad report, or you could say a report of unbelief. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, believed that with God's help, they could go in and conquer the promised land. But the 10 spies felt like it's too hard. The giants are too big. We can't do it. The majority of the Israelites believed those 10 spies, and the majority of the people of Israel, instead of going in faith over in to conquer the promised land, they got upset and disturbed at Moses and began to complain. Well, the fact is, sadly, the majority believed the 10 spies. And as I mentioned in the article, everyone 20 years old and older died in the wilderness over the next 40 years rather than ever getting into the promised land, except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb believed that with God's help, they could go in and conquer the promised land. And you could say that of the 12 spies, all of them got what they said. All of them got what their words of faith said. The 10 who said, we can't do it, we can't conquer the land, they didn't conquer the land, and they never went into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. In fact, they died right away. But the two who said, with God's help, we can go in and conquer the promised land, Joshua and Caleb did exactly that. They went in and helped lead the children of Israel 40 years later. Why 40 years? Because all those that believed the 10 spies, 20 years old and older, died in the wilderness over the next 40 years. So sadly, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Why? Well, when we fail to trust God, we can do a lot of wandering in our lives. It's important that we read the Word of God, trust the Word of God, and step out in faith and obedience to God's Word, because that's what every believer is called to. And when we can trust God, we can see the hand of God move on our behalf to accomplish great things in and through our lives. So a question that we should all challenge ourselves with is, are we believers who think like the 10 spies, or do we think like Joshua and Caleb and say, with God's help, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? All of us face faith challenges every day of our lives. Are you putting your faith in gear and putting it to work and trusting God to help you to be an overcomer? Are you winning in life, or are you wandering in life? Again, the Israelites wandered for 40 years tragically in the wilderness because they missed an opportunity of faith to go forward in victory. You and I want to live a lifestyle of victory, but the key is put your faith in gear, put it to work every day of your life. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, for us to build our faith daily as we read and meditate on your word daily. As we set a goal of reading like at least 3 chapters or more in your word daily, we can grow our faith. And help us, Lord, to not just grow it, but help us to put it to work every single day of our lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith, A Walk Through the Old Testament. We'll be right back. From the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith, A Walk Through the Old Testament. And keep in mind, for every believer, a very, very practical goal for each and every one of us is to daily read and meditate on the Word of God and thus build, strengthen, and nourish our faith. And then put it to work. Remember, we're to put our faith to work with every circumstance, every challenge, every difficulty, every mountain we face in our lives. We're supposed to be putting our faith to work. And the fact is, we should never approach any difficulty by just assuming, well, I guess I better handle this myself. We're supposed to be putting our faith in God to work all the time. Because remember, God is bigger and smarter and wiser and mightier than every one of us. And we're wise. We're wise to always be putting our faith and trust in Him to work. In fact, it's unwise to do otherwise. Putting our faith to work is very, very important. A final passage we want to look at is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And picking up specifically, we're going to read starting at verse 32. Keep in mind, this is a very well-known passage and account in Scripture. The story of David and Goliath. Of course, this account explains how that the army of Israel is on one side of a valley, and the Philistine army is on the other side, and the Philistine have a champion by the name of Goliath who steps out and over a period of 40 days challenges anyone, including King Saul from the Israelite army, to come out and fight him. And not a single soldier, including King Saul, was courageous enough to come out and fight the champion of the Philistine army named Goliath. Well, then along comes David, who is not in the army. His three oldest brothers are in the army, but he is not. He's coming. David is a shepherd boy, young man, would keep his father's sheep, but he came, was bringing some items and some food and supplies or items for his brothers, and heard the challenge that Goliath was making to the soldiers. And David believed with God's help, he could go and fight the champion named Goliath. So picking up at verse 32 in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it tells us these words. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it again to this pagan Philistine, too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord has rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally considered, "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. And so just pausing there for a moment at verse 38. So David has been basically released by Saul to go and fight Goliath. And remember, again, none of the soldiers were courageous enough to fight Goliath. And King Saul, he too was afraid of Goliath. But David, who was a young shepherd boy, was courageous enough to say, "With God's help, I can go and defeat him." So David was willing to do that. So picking up at verse 41, "Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. 'Am I a dog?' he roared at David, 'that you come at me with a stick?' And he cursed David by the names of his gods. 'Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals,' Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, 'You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us.' As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and wounded Philistines were strewn all along the road from Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron." So here, again, not one of the soldiers in the army, not the king of Israel, but a young shepherd boy by the name of David, a young man who trusted his God, stepped out and challenged Goliath and defeated him on the field of battle. How important it is that we understand that this is not just a nice, exciting story from the Old Testament. It's a powerful faith lesson for every single one of us. As we look at the bigness of our God rather than the bigness of our problems, our challenges, our difficulties, and we realize that the challenges to our faith in life, they're God's battles. And as we learn to put our faith and trust in God, we allow God to do our fighting on our behalf. How important it is that we understand that God wants to teach us and empower us to be victorious in every part of our lives, but it's up to us to put our faith to work. As believers, we can be like Saul and the Israelite soldiers, scared and not even wanting to step out on the battlefield, afraid of the challenge of the giant called Goliath. And all of us have many giants in our lives, difficulties that sometimes can, if we allow it, can make people tremble in their boots just looking at the problem. But the fact is, God is bigger than all of our challenges, bigger than all of our troubles, bigger than all of the giants you and I face in life. But we have to learn to put our faith and trust in God. One of the ways we put our faith and trust in God, as we mentioned earlier, is through your prayer life, as you pray and ask God to help you with situations. Ask Him for wisdom, guidance, help, or deliverance from a situation. We serve a God that loves to answer prayer. But also, just like David, when he stepped out on the battlefield, he was speaking words of faith. A very important lesson that many of us as believers really need to better understand is that a very important part of living a lifestyle of faith is speaking the promises of God often in your life. Throughout the day, quietly under your breath, sometimes quite out loud, but speaking and standing on the promises of God, that's one of the ways whereby we put our faith to work. A whole other side of one of the ways we put our faith to work is simply obedience. What did the Bible tell us to do? And then just do it, whatever it might be. When we're called, when the Word of God lets us know we're called to walk in love, we're to walk in love even when it's hard. But with God's help, we can do that. We're called to give to the work of the building of God's kingdom and give generously. Sometimes it's good for us to know that all of us are called actually to live a life of sacrifice in our giving as well as in other areas of life as well. It takes faith to do that. God is daily seeking to stretch us in our faith because He helps us grow up that way. And more we learn a lifestyle of putting our faith to work. How important it is that we seek to do that today and every day. God has exploits for every one of us to do, but it will take our stepping out in faith and believing God to be the big and great God that He really is in our lives. Are you walking by faith today? There's so many lessons the Word of God teaches us, Old Testament as well as New Testament, where He's calling every one of us to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Lord, thank You for the fact that Your Word is a book of faith. It's a word that as we read and meditate on Your word daily, our faith can grow and become vibrant and strong and more what You would have it to be. Help us to know, Lord, that daily we're needing to be building our faith because there's so many challenges that we will face in life, in our individual lives, faith and challenges in our marriages, faith and challenges in our families. We as parents or grandparents may face them, and all of them, You call us to face them with faith. Lord, You call us to live by faith. There is no challenge or difficulty that we should fail to put our faith to work in. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day, throughout the day, to put our faith to work. With every passing day, help us to become more and more skillful in knowing how to do just that, to put our faith to work, to pray for big things, and not be afraid to pray big prayers. Not be afraid to take the promises of Your word and stand on those promises and believe that You're going to keep Your word. Help us to be wise enough to make it a lifestyle to take the promises found in Your word and speak them over our lives and speak them throughout the day, standing on them, knowing that You're always, always, always going to keep Your word. Thank You for the opportunity You give us daily of being faith warriors who step out on the battlefield of life as kingdom warriors who know how to step out and win as we simply trust You, obey You, and follow You. Thank You for the opportunity to do just that, Lord. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We've been looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith, a walk through the Old Testament. And the article that we shared is entitled Faith and Obedience. If you'd like to get a copy of that article, simply email us. Again, the same email that we mentioned earlier, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that article to you. Again, Faith and Obedience, joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to make that very, very important step. If you'd like to invite Christ to come into your heart, to save you, to make you brand new, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some resource materials and discipleship materials that will help you to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Or again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the article entitled Faith and Obedience, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, today we've been looking at the topic, Lessons on Faith, a Walk Through the Old Testament. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.